The following is a special presentation of Tony Curry Radio.
Welcome back to the K4 Wins. Case Kiefer in the top left-hand corner, the chief editor of the Las Vegas Sun. Right below him is Kai Gregory. He's been doing sports handicapping for nearly four decades. Kip Kiefer, the executive director of Birmingham Racecourse Casino, right below me. And of course, I'm Tony Curry from ESPN Sports Radio, some rock and roll stuff the last 40 years of all. Together, we are the 4K brothers, the K4 brothers, depending on how you look at it. And we handicap games. We go on every Tuesday and Friday at 10 o'clock Central Time. A huge day today. The World Series could be over tonight, guys. We'll get into that. It is Nevada Day. What does that mean for Case Kiefer? We'll talk about that in just a few seconds. And also, we had some interesting emails that popped in at info@tonycurryradio.net about our top 10 list. They loved it. We did a top 10 teams, which I thought was really, really good, just to find out, just not in any particular order, but what our top 10 college football teams on Tuesday. And has that changed at all over the last 3 days? Obviously, it should not, because we haven't played any college football despite a couple of games during the week, but we'll get into it. Everyone doing good this morning? How's everybody doing?
Up and running.
Fantastic. Kai, how are our numbers so far this week?
Not too shabby. Still on the winning side, daily, weekly, monthly, yearly. So good positive things there. Before we get too far, I just want to know, because we talked about it, because we just started in this college football, did anybody else see the freaking incredible performance by McCown, quarterback for UTSA, yesterday?
31 of 33.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
369 yards, 4 touchdowns.
Yeah, and I still feel, I didn't watch the game, but I try to look at every box score afterwards. It still seemed like Tulane's offense was right with them, and they turned the ball over 4 times. Yep. So just makes the AAC race even crazier. I mean,
I love those uniforms, man. I love the runners, and love the birds on top. And of course, their head coach is a guy that I love. They're not having a very good season, by the way. I think they were 3-4 going to that ball game. I think they even upped their record. But yeah, he was lights out. He was unbelievable.
But what about Tulane, guys? I mean, are we ready to kind of put them in the disappointing category? Because they were really highly thought of. And John Summerall's name is everywhere in this coaching discussion.
Yeah, 5.5 points.
I'd say disappointing, yes, but I'm not ready to write them off. I think the AAC is like the mid-major SEC. It's just there's like a group of like
that's
16.
A good call.
And they can all beat each other on any given day. Like I said, when I looked at the box score, defensively it was a debacle, but offensively I still think they're right there. And we've already kind of seen it. A lot of these teams have beaten up on each other, and it's given me a little bit of hope, honestly. I think I might have given it out on this show before, as I have James Madison at 14-1 to make the playoff, and I thought for sure it's going to be an AAC team. But now, I mean, they all keep beating each other. We could have a conference champion with 3 losses, and then I'm wondering, are we really going to award a 3-loss champion? I still think the AAC is most likely, but I think that 14-1. If I wanted to put it on an exchange, I could make some money off of it, but I'm just going to ride it for now.
Another sneaky good game this weekend at the AAC is undefeated Navy, 7-0, taking on, of course, North Texas. North Texas, another one of those, it's not a really smelly fish. It was last night from the standpoint that Tulane was given a 5.5. They get blown out. North Texas giving up 6.5 to an undefeated team in 7-0. But if you look at what Navy's done, FAU, UAB, Rice, Tulsa, they haven't beat anybody. I mean, they've been unbelievable. Jorge, I love the quarterback. I love what he does. They're fantastic. But we see this every single year, the Georgia Techs, the Nevadas of the world. Good for them. Wonderful. Cincinnati's are undefeated 7-8-0 going into the season. Not Cincinnati this year. They got lost. But then all of a sudden, things seem to even out a little bit. And at the back end of the schedule, things start getting a little more difficult. Injuries start coming into play. And next thing you know, you get yourself a 2 or 3 loss team that potentially was in for a playoff thing. But good for them. Right now, Navy 7-0, and that's great for the country and good for everybody. So we'll get up. I do want to jump right into a game that obviously we're going to be very, very interested in, because I got a guy sitting down there. He's wearing the Hoover Bucks right now, but he's a huge Tennessee fan. And they got a monster game this weekend against the Oklahoma Sooners up there at Neyland Stadium. They're giving up 3 points. The over-under is now out of 55.5. I think it started, what did it open at, 58, 57, something like that? You've got the over 56 in the starting lineup, so that's bode well. We're going to go ahead and sledge a little bit and pull it back to 55 so you can have a winner-winner chicken dinner in that particular case. But everybody, including the legend, loving Tennessee in this particular game, minus the 3. I'm going to start with you, Kip. Why?
I just think the shine's kind of off Oklahoma. I think that was a really deflating loss last week to Ole Miss. I think the expectation in Norman was, and my expectation, I drank the Kool-Aid. I thought that Oklahoma would rise up at home in a situation where that was a game they really need to win to position themselves for what their stated goals are. The acquisition of Mateer and Arbuckle, and their statistically number one defense, which once again, my argument that statistics are not the best measure in college football. I guess you have to consider them because they are the actual numbers. But I think the Oklahoma defense was exposed last week. The irrepressible, amazing situation with I've been calling him Trinidad Tobago lately because it sounds better than Trinidad Shambliss. But that guy just keeps grinding up defenses. And I just don't see the mindset of Oklahoma. Maybe they're going to be a desperate team. But I really am high on Tennessee the more I see them play this year. If they had a field goal kicker, they would have beaten Georgia. If they don't throw a pick six on the goal line right at the end of the first half, I think that game with Alabama goes right down to the wire. That's 16-14 at the half. Tennessee came right back out. Bishop ripped off the 55-yard run. They were very much in the game. That was not a game where I give Alabama a lot of credit. So I just think Tennessee is a team that people are not appreciating very much here, and I think they're multifaceted and dangerous. It's not so much I don't like Oklahoma. I just think Tennessee has to have this game. It's in Knoxville, and I think they catch Oklahoma at just the right time.
Tennessee at 4-4 against the spread so far this year. Kyle, what's your thoughts?
Tennessee has the 124th ranked pass defense in the country. That does not bode great against Oklahoma, against Mateer. Mateer has come back since the injury, and he has not been anywhere near as strong with this passing game. Oklahoma's defense, I think, I'm scared that last week may have been a wake-up call for him. You know, Aguilar's not going to run like Chambliss did against them, though. I do think that. I'm really kind of surprised. Keep in mind, Tennessee gave up 330 yards last week to Boley, the freshman at Kentucky, who I don't think's ever thrown over 33 yards, much less 30 yards in a game, to a really, really, really crappy Kentucky offense. Tennessee it looks like Colton Hood's going to play, which that's good. But at the same time, if you have all your guys back that missed tackles and gave up, 35 points to Kentucky, what are they going to give up to Oklahoma? Dark mode, it's in Tennessee, night game's going to be in the 40s. I think it will be an absolutely electric crowd. I love the over. I love the over in the first half. I like both teams, team total overs, which scares me because, like you talked about before we went on the air, loving Kansas City the other night, -7 in the first half, and they shit the bed. So, we'll see. But Tennessee, when's the last time Tennessee, besides Alabama with the pick six, scored under 14 points in a first half, especially at home?
They get after it for sure. Offensively speaking, they've been up and down the football field, that's for sure. And it's going to be really, really interesting. Another game in the SEC that's been very interesting as well. And again, before the season started, it was Texas -15 against Vanderbilt. Right now, Texas, that line's moved up to 3. I'm going to do the best I can to stay away from it. I've been on Texas the last 4 weeks. I'm 1-3, or actually, I know I'm 1-2-1 because I got the push this past week. So I'm just going to leave it alone. But it's hard to believe that basically all I need is Texas and the money line to win this football game at home against Vanderbilt, really. And I'm still looking at Vanderbilt's schedule. I'm starting to pull a Kip here. I'm looking at the first four games they played: Southern Utah State, Southern Illinois, yeah. Northwestern. I mean, they didn't play anybody. They've lost one game. Yeah, they did beat Missouri. They lost Alabama's their one loss, and that was fairly impressive. Missouri, I'm still not buying in. I'm gonna use a Kip line right here. The jury's still out on Missouri. I think they're a good football team, but I don't think they're in the top 10 teams in the country by any stretch. And here's Texas giving up 3 against Vandy. And really, this is – every game's a must-win for Steve Sarkisian. Case right now, what's Vegas thinking about this game?
Yeah, well, I have bets on all the games we've talked about so far, and you can probably figure out the last one, especially what side I'm on because of what we talk about every week and how it sets up. But this one, I actually, unfortunately, I didn't want to do it, but I did wind up taking some Texas. I happened to be at my computer, which I often am, when a notification came out that I think Arch practiced, at least in full or limited. It looked like he could get out of concussion protocol, which the college football, someone needs to look into the concussion protocol in college football. The NFL, I see it firsthand. I think they take it super seriously because they got sued so badly, and I think they're careful. The college football concussion protocol seems like nonsense. But anyway, I knew that the market was going to be high on Arch coming back in because I think we talked about Tuesday. I saw the number drop a lot when it looked like it was going to be Caldwell. I thought one was just a little too much. So I saw a bunch of books move right away to two, and I saw some stale ones. I just picked off one of the minus ones. So I am on Texas. I'm going to be probably bitching and complaining if they do what they've done all year and look like a letdown Saturday. But I did get a little bit of Texas before that moved. On the other game, it should come as no surprise. It seems like every single time this year, if not last year too, when everyone's on one side, I just happen to be on the other. And I think rumors of Oklahoma's defense demise are just greatly exaggerated. What, Ole Miss had like four field goals and a safety in that game or something. I mean, they only gave up really, I think, 21 points. I mean, that's not bad against an Ole Miss offense that lit up Georgia for, 30-some the week before?
Yep.
So I don't know. I didn't really downgrade Oklahoma much off of last week, and I know their offense has been really dreadful. I agree with Kai, especially since Mateer got hurt. But I don't, going against Tennessee's defense has kind of gotten every offense right. So I fired on Oklahoma +3.5 early in the week. Now in Vegas, it's a lot of 2.5s. I don't think I'd go to 2.5s, but if you could still get a 3, Oklahoma would be the side for me in that game. So hopefully that answered your question. That's where I am on those two SEC games.
Greg McElroy agrees with you. I saw that he expects Oklahoma to win easily.
Yeah, I don't think easily. Well, I thought over the 3. I mean, I think it's a coin flip. Could Tennessee completely overwhelm them? They clearly have the better offense. Yes, but I just think it's close.
Hey, I used to do that show. Oh, yeah. It should be a very interesting ball game. I think another game that's going to be really interesting, too, and we talked about coaching changes, and we've certainly seen the flip. We saw it at UAB when coaches change midseason, how the teams perform. It's easy to think, rah, 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 we're all in this together. We don't have a head coach. Let's go play for each other, blah, 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 blah. But then when you're talking about a coach that everybody on the face of the earth wants to hire in Lane Kiffin, what does that do to a line case keeper when you're talking about taking on a South Carolina squad? What does Lane got to do this weekend? I mean, if he comes out and lays a dud, ends up winning by 3, are we poo-pooing on him a little bit, or is it just what it is?
Yeah, that's interesting. I never really know how to factor that in because I feel like it's something we do in hindsight where, like, if Ole Miss loses this week, there's no doubt everyone will be saying, oh, Lane was trying to get his next job. The team was distracted. But, I mean, you could have said that all last week, and look what they did. Look what they did last week. I mean, that was maybe their best performance of the year.
Must overall, win last week, too. Yeah.
They took care of business. So I never really know how to factor that in. I get that it's a fun thing to talk about, and there's so much content. We got to fill it somehow, but it's not something I really factor in. Although I will say it doesn't apply now, but part of the reason I didn't like Ole Miss last week is there is a track record of these Lane Kiffin teams. Once they get one loss and get knocked down, they usually don't respond.
Amazing too, by the way. I'm glad you brought that up because it is incredible. If you look back there, it does seem like when he loses one game, they kind of fall apart a little bit, don't they?
Yeah, but maybe this year is different because, like I said, I don't think they beat Oklahoma maybe as much as people are saying. I do think it was very impressive to go there and win that game. So it's pretty crazy because this is not his. I don't think this is more talented than probably the last 2 years' teams. But maybe this team's a little bit different, and that might be some of Chambliss. I do think Chambliss is special, so I don't expect them to lose this week, and I'm not factoring in anything that has to do with his coaching search.
Kip, one of those schools that is looking for a coach, that's the Florida Gators. They're catching 7 against the Georgia Bulldogs, a team that just keeps being Georgia. They keep winning games. The defense is not what they think they are. By the second half, man, they're playing some wonderful football. The world's largest cocktail party. I will always call it that because I think that's the coolest thing in the world. The Georgia Bulldogs giving up a touchdown in some places, maybe even a hook on top of it against the Florida Gators. What are the Gators going to perform like?
The unknown factor in this game, too. There's always this subplot in all these games. What is the interim staff, Billy Gonzalez, who's been a servant of the program for a long time, but you know, what's going to be the mindset of that team? Are they going to be organized? Are they going to be their play caller now is the quarterback's coach, who I've never heard of. Billy Gonzalez didn't even use his first name in his press conference here. And he says, well, Coach O'Hara is going to be calling the plays. I don't know if Coach O'Hara, you know, if he's the son of an Irish cop or I don't know what his background is. I don't know anything about him. So he's going to be in DJ Lagway's helmet. His voice, the offensive coordinator at Florida, who was that in just name only, is still on the job, but he's not going to be calling the plays. So who knows what you're going to get with Florida? It's a mixed bag. Are they going to be inspired? By all accounts, Billy Napier was a popular guy, just not a very accomplished situation in terms of his tenure at Florida. So I just don't know what you're going to get. You know what you're going to get with Georgia. They're frequently not prepared for the beginnings of games. They make some subtle, and Kirby said, do not get on this, we make great adjustments at halftime thing. He says, that's a myth. Do you think we're going to wait till halftime to try to fix things that we see? I mean, Kirby, you know, was getting all this credit. He said, that's all BS. You know, that's not what we're doing. Georgia is just a strange team now, but I think what you have to recognize in Georgia is all of a sudden they are becoming a well-oiled machine offensively. I started the year talking about all the weapons they had, and a lot of people didn't realize the just embarrassment of wealth they have in the running back room and the wide receiver core. And the other thing about Georgia that's really stunning, with all of the injuries they've had and all the mixing and matching they've done on their offensive line, this group has really gelled the last couple weeks. I saw it in person at the Auburn game. After the first half of just disorganization, they were literally blowing what people consider a good Auburn defense off the ball in the second half and picking up every crucial third and fourth down. Georgia's got a bunch of five-star blue chip young guys playing on the line, and they've had to learn as with a baptism of fire. And I think that's a real strength on this team now. So all of a sudden, after all these years of Georgia's got this great defense and they just got to do enough offensively, it's a different kind of team now. The defense is a little bit questionable, but the offense under Gunnar Stockton, who a lot of people were quick to sell out, including the premier spokesperson in all of college football, who hosts the afternoon show on the SEC Network, really kind of downplaying Gunnar Stockton. I think he's proven a lot of people wrong.
Georgia Bulldogs only losing one game so far this year, and of course that being the Alabama Crimson Tide. Worthless Tony Curry information or trivia.
They should have tied the game and didn't do it.
That's right. They sure didn't. There's only one team in college football right now who has not lost a game against the spread this year. Do you know who it is?
I feel like I should know that, but
That would be the Ohio State Buckeyes, who are 6-0-1 this year. Everyone else has lost at least one game against the spread. The Buckeyes are thoroughly getting it done, 6-0-1.
With that monster schedule, that's a shocking.
Well, it really is. And to think, quite frankly, to think that with that schedule, because you need to be blowing some teams out. Obviously, they're getting that done. And they are expected to blow out another team that's looking for a coach in Penn State this weekend. I want to say this line was somewhere around 7, 8, 8.5, maybe about 3 or 4 weeks ago. And Penn State has just fallen off the face of the earth. Case at 19.5. Have we just thrown the towel in on Penn State?
Well, I want to say, I know Kip was mocking us, but I completely agree. I'm shocked they're undefeated against the spread. I mean, you even look at those monster Alabama teams at the end with Nick Saban. They were laying similar lines. They had a losing record against the spread like every year. So that kind of surprises me that they have covered all those big numbers. This number I think was below 7 coming into the year. I mean, it was a lot of places because it was a game of the year.
Like 4.5 was what came out this summer.
Yeah, I thought it'd be something like that, yeah. So now you're getting almost 21. I hate to say it. I guess I just can't quit the lovable losers, but I say this is the week they're perfect against the spread record goes away.
I can't believe I did it,
but I ended up taking Penn State plus 21. I mean, you just look talent by talent. This is the closest game they've had. I think it looks like Penn State is doing the right thing that you'd want to do against Ohio State with this interim coach. They're just going to run the ball, hope to get 4 yards, run the play clock down. They're really going to try to shorten the game. They're not going to try to give them opportunities to completely blow them out. So I don't know if it's fully come off 21 yet. Before it came off 21, I really didn't want to do it. This might have been one of the last bets I made, but I just couldn't quite get to – oh, it's even – we got as low as 18.5 now in Vegas. So, wow. someone's thinking my way. I had to take a little bit of Penn State plus 21. I think the perfect against the spread record goes away this week, and I'm not calling for them to lose outright, but you know, as bad as Penn State has been, that they still have, you know, I think if you took a poll of coaches and said, you know, drafted teams of who has the most talent, I mean, Penn State's probably still in the top 10, despite how terrible they've looked. So maybe I'm crazy and Ohio State blows them out, but I think this will just be a low scoring game where Ohio State doesn't just completely destroy them.
I have to ask you guys a question. I want you to go on the horn. Please don't nod your head. Wait till I'm done talking before you start nodding your head or put thumbs up, thumbs down, because it throws me off. The UAB Blazers are catching 11.5 or 12 against UConn. I had a remarkable podcast with Mark Ingram yesterday, obviously very, very happy, because when they're winning, he's actually saving his own ass. And I called him out yesterday. First, I asked him if Bill Delichick was available to hire, would you hire him? He said, absolutely not. So I was very, very happy to hear, because UAB, I think, would do anything just to get the notoriety and the novelty of having something like that in their backyard. But he really believes, as an AD and a guy who played at Tennessee, that the switch has been thrown here, and all of a sudden UAB is not a bad football team. They've just been playing very bad football. And he saw something in them this past week that is totally different. We're right here in their backyard. I love playing their numbers. I've been playing their overs all year long. Now all of a sudden their defense is playing better. He thinks they can go to a bowl game. And if they win this week and they're 4-4, just, I don't want to spend a lot of time on this, but as a UAB guy, what do you guys think? I've never seen a team throw a switch halfway through the season just because they made a coaching change, or have we seen that happen?
I feel like we've seen it happen. I just don't know. I get being excited. I mean, that was a great win. I want to see it for more than one game before I declare them completely back. And they definitely could be. I just called up the schedule really quick. They still have North Texas and South Florida. Both are home games.
Rice. They got Rice.
Yeah, at Rice. So I don't have a bet on this week's game. I don't really know what to make of them. What's their record right now? They've won one.
They're 3-4.
Okay, so they got to win three of these last five.
Mm-hmm.
This one looms pretty large, and they're what, an 11-point dog? So I think they really need to win this week at UConn.
It's at 11 o'clock in the morning game up at East Hartford, which is not – this could be kind of a shady kind of game. Any other thoughts on you guys? Because I hadn't talked about it yesterday. We had Alex Mortensen in the studio for our show, and he's a super nice guy and great guy. My son said something. He goes, I'm going to watch the show. He goes, it was fantastic. He watches the starting lineup every week, and he goes, that coach is weird. And I said, what do you mean? He goes, he's a weird-looking dude. And I said, you know, I hadn't really noticed when you sat down. I said, but, yeah, he does not look – he's not very coach-like. I said, he's kind of tall, lanky kind of guy. Maybe it's because we just hadn't seen his face that we're not used to his intricacies, if you will. But I said, he was well-polished. He spoke like he was a coach for 12 years. So he did a nice job. All right, I want to go around the horn. Let's start with Kip Kiefer. You've had 3 or 4 days since our first show on Tuesday. How you changed your mind? I know sometimes we come out here, and I love, you know, Kai's great at this. He'll come out on Tuesday, and he's all over a football team, and it is totally switched by Thursday or Friday, which I love. It's Halloween, so let's get after it. It's the last day of October. I cannot believe it. Kip, we'll start with you. Some games that you are loving this weekend in college football.
Well, you guys know I'm a big home dog guy. I like home teams that I think are half decent when they get inflated lines at home. So I'm probably going to get some blowback on this, but I don't really like this team or its coach. But SMU 12.5 at home against Miami. I think Miami is still kind of in that zone right now where they're kind of readjusting what we saw earlier in the year. They have not been as impressive lately. I'm not giving them any stock on the Stanford game, which was, I think, 7-7 late in the second quarter. So I just have the feeling SMU will show up at home and play a decent game. I don't think they'll beat Miami, but I sure as hell wouldn't cough up 12.5 points. Same kind of premise. I know the Indiana fever is running rampant. They go to Maryland. Maryland is not a good team. They're another one of the bottom feeders in the Big Ten. But they have had some half-decent performances at home. They're getting 21.5. I just think Indiana fever is way out of control. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe at the end of the year I'm going to have to say, yeah, I guess all of you guys were right and Indiana's the real deal. But I'm still not buying it. I'm not going to give three touchdowns to Indiana. I'll take Maryland there. I like Case said earlier in the year, and I think he's absolutely right. Stanford is an absolute joke of a team. Pittsburgh has quietly had a really good season. The Pittsburgh Panthers in the ACC are a force, and they've got some really meaningful games coming up. They're only having to cough up. Stanford is a home dog, so I feel like I'm contradicting myself, but it's a home dog that can play. Stanford can't play. Ridiculous they beat Florida State a couple weeks ago. I think Pitt blows them out in California this week. Those are the main ones. I like Tennessee a lot against Oklahoma, as I mentioned. I just think if this game turns into a shootout, I don't think Oklahoma can keep up. Unless John Mateer of old comes back, and I just haven't seen it in these last couple of games. Just a couple other really quick. I like Baylor at home against UCF. I think Kansas State has a chance to shock the world and disrupt Texas Tech a little bit more after their loss to Arizona State a couple of weeks ago. Kansas State finally back on track after the disastrous trip to Ireland, and they sleptwalked through the first 3 weeks of the season. In the Bill Snyder Family Stadium in Manhattan, I think they're going to make a big stand against Texas Tech. I like Arkansas to get the first Bobby Petrino win. I'm just not a Mississippi State believer. That line is pretty short, 4.5. The only reason Arkansas didn't beat Auburn, they turned the ball over 4 times. Count them, 4 times in one quarter. When's the last time you've seen a team do that? If it was Hoover Middle School, they probably could have won that game if you get 4 complete gifts in the last quarter of a game. So I really like Arkansas to beat Mississippi State in this game. And the one I want you guys to talk about real quick, game day is in Salt Lake City for Utah-Cincinnati. Utah, to me, has been extremely unimpressive this year. Their big matchup against BYU, they did not come through. Cincinnati's been rolling right along. How is Cincinnati, with the roll they're on, a 10.5-point underdog at Utah? I don't understand that one.
They're actually ranked higher than Utah as well. They're 17th. Utah is 24th. And by the way, Cincinnati 5-2 against the spread. They're 7-1 straight up, 4-3 over under. You also have the Utah Utes case at also 5-2 against the spread. Two teams that have been outperforming themselves. And Cincinnati, I had them this past week. I've been kind of going off and on against them. I hate Cincinnati because I went to Xavier, but Xavier doesn't have a football team, so I might as well root for a home team. But the Bearcats can play pretty well.
Yeah, I was on the opposite side of you last week, and you won. It's funny. I think I agreed with all Kip's picks until the last one. Maybe not at the current price, but I loved Utah at open. It's one of my bigger bets of the week. I laid 7 with Utah.
But is that line? I mean, I would have expected that to be maybe like 6 at most, but 10.5? That's amazing.
I made it 10, exactly. So
really? Okay. Well,
yeah. Like I said, I slammed Utah -7. They have their quarterback coming back this week. They played a backup last week at the last minute, and they were up, 40-7 at half? Or was it 40-0 at halftime?
Yeah.
Colorado last week with a backup quarterback. I'm just pretty skeptical of Cincinnati. And yes, they have had a good year. I think they've won a lot of close games, though, which is funny because that one game I think everyone was watching, that's Nebraska, that they lost when they probably should have deserved to win. That Sorsby threw that interception at the end of the game. Sorsby's not a guy I fully trust. I like Dampier way better. And just defensively, I haven't been all that impressed. They're getting all this publicity for their defense and how good their defense is. I don't think it's one of the better defenses in the Big 12. I think Rice Eccles one of the bigger home field advantages. But again, I would not be betting it now, especially at 10.5. Some places at 10.5. I mean, technically, I have value on Cincinnati there. Maybe I should try to middle it, but I'm not going to do that. I'll just ride with Utah -7. Right. I agree. Pretty crazy move, and maybe it's just based off of one game. But I do think, I mean, Colorado had kind of been trending up. I think they had covered 4 straight weeks. It looked pretty good. And Utah, that had to have been one of the best performances in the country last week.
They waxed them.
Because it was late, so. Yeah, Utah -7 for me.
Cincinnati has a loss since August 28th. I didn't realize they had rolled off 7-0. They beat Bowling Green, Northwestern State, Kansas by 3, Iowa State by 8, UCF by 9, and then Oklahoma State by 32, and 21 by Baylor. So they have gotten better as far as in point spread wins over the last couple of weeks, but lights out, pretty good stuff. All right, Case, I'll stay with you. You've already given us a couple of games you like there, and you're kind of going on the Ute side. What are some other games that are jumping out at you here as we get ready for Week 10?
Yeah, well, it's right next to it in my sheet. I was just looking at the spot. I'm surprised this one hasn't moved with me. I already gave it out on Tuesday, but I guess I'm just going to keep betting it till I get burned. I've been betting on Notre Dame every week since the Arkansas game. I think you haven't seen anyone do what they did to Arkansas. I know it was Pittman's last game, but I don't know.
Oh,
that was really just eye-opening to me. And I think Boston College is just horrendous. They lost their quarterback, a month ago now, Dylan Lonergan, who looked good early in the year. So I still can't believe there's 28s out there for Notre Dame. I know 28's super high to lay on the road, but it's something I bet right away. Maybe I've stretched it too far, a week too far, because every other week I bet Notre Dame early and it's closed like 5 points higher. This week it doesn't seem like anyone's with me, but I think style points matter for Notre Dame too right now, just in case a lot of these teams have two losses if it's a conversation at the end of the playoff. So I think
this time of the season, you can correct me wrong, I think this time of the season I start looking at defenses more than I look at offenses, just from the standpoint of, listen, if this team can only put up 13 or 14, then I just do the math. And right now, Boston College has given up 44.5 points per ball game their last four games. Notre Dame should put up no problem. They should put up 45 at least. And if they can do that and hold them to 17, there's your victory. There's your at least your push. And I don't see Boston College. Notre Dame's got a great defense. Continue.
Yeah, so I think I talked about Notre Dame and Nebraska on Tuesday. I don't want to just talk about the exact same game from school and see if I can get anything else. How about two teams no one will want to back after last week? I just talked about how Colorado got completely destroyed. This week they're hosting Arizona as high as a 5-point underdog. I don't think there's that big of a difference between these two teams. I think, Colorado had been trending up since they finally settled on a quarterback and not juggling three with Caden Salter, the former Liberty guy who did big things at Liberty 2 years ago. I just think 5 at home, you know, that's still at elevation. I think one of the bigger home field advantages too. So I took Colorado plus 5, despite how bad they were last week. And the only team that might have been worse than them last week was Minnesota, who lost 41-3 to Iowa. But I laid it this week. I laid 3 with Minnesota against Michigan State. Michigan State hasn't been much better, and there's a lot of rumblings about Jonathan Smith parting ways with him there. I don't necessarily know if that plays in anything. I didn't put any of that into the number, and I still came up with Minnesota as a 6-point favorite. So only at 3, I think this might be an overreaction to how bad they looked last week. I mean, their defense for the year has been pretty decent. So I laid it with Minnesota, too. Two extremely ugly teams no one will want to touch, Minnesota and Colorado.
Man, do you remember how hot Deion Sanders' name was this time last year? Do you remember? I mean, he was going to go to the Dallas Cowboys.
He's not on any
list. I mean, he was on College Game Day 1 week. The next week, he was doing Aflac commercials. I mean, he was the pigeon on the DirecTV commercials. I mean, this guy was every. Now he's still doing those commercials. All right, he's still getting paid. But I mean, I haven't heard squat from Deion Sanders since week 2 this year, which is pretty incredible. All right, Kai, what's jumping out at you?
You know, I had that Arizona Colorado game marked as a mighty smelly fish because I do think Arizona is significantly better than Colorado. But going on the road, that 4.5 was like I thought that line would be more like 7.5, and for it to come out at 4.5 and 5, it's just like I hadn't jumped on it, but it stuck out to me. Another one I hadn't jumped on that stuck out: Duke getting 3.5.
Yeah, you've been waiting for that Clemson 11 o'clock home game, yeah, haven't
in
you?
An 11 o'clock game, might I add, at home. I put a little bit on Duke plus 3.5. Another early game, you know, Army Air Force. I loved Armed Forces games, and Army is banged up. Air Force is putting up all kinds of points with Zarka at quarterback, but their defense sucks. Their defense is almost as bad as Navy's. I've got to take Air Force in a pick 'em there. I don't know why, but I just kind of do. I agree. SMU now is at 10.5. I like them catching points. I mean, I think you have to take the points or you can't play that game. Something that I'm really looking forward to tonight, which will make me think about UAB later in the season, is how is Memphis going to show up tonight at Rice? That game's sticking out to me looking at that total tonight. I also love this UNC Syracuse game tonight. jumping on that as well. Looking at Houston, minus 13 at home against West Virginia. I thought that line would be 15, and it's only sitting at 13, and that kind of worries me, but I'm going to go that way. Navy and North Texas, how can you not play over in that game with Navy's horrible defense, with a good offense, you know, based off of Horvath, basically. North Texas offense is firing on all cylinders. You know, another one that sticks out to me is if it gets to 7, you know, do you bet Cal plus 7 at home against Virginia, or is Virginia going to really bounce back if it stays at 6? You know, I do like that over in the Tennessee game. And one that really sticks out to me, and this hurts me thinking about it, but something's up NC State only catching 5.5 at home against Georgia Tech. Now, I love Haynes King. I think Georgia Tech wins, but it's probably going to stay within that 5.5. If you ask me, it's just something there. And something that I wanted to point out, and maybe it's a useless fact, I saw it this morning. Vandy's 10-3 against the spread since the beginning of last year, 9-3 in conference versus spread. Texas against the spread, top 10 in the last 20 seasons, 2-10 against the spread, and 8-15 ranked against the spread since 20. Only Boise and what other school, Tony, are worse than that against the spread against top 20 teams in the past 5 years? Near and dear to your heart.
Cincinnati or Penn State?
Clemson.
Clemson, there you go. Yeah. Let me tell you, my son called me yesterday, and I say this despairingly because he's got anxiety issues, and he went to Clemson because he wants to see winning football. It was really important to him that he goes to a college that he can root football. He's going to be in a stadium somewhere as his job. He loves the live sporting event more so than even I do, and so it's just killing him to see his football team play like this. By the way, ticket $17. $17
to see winning football next year.
Wow.
Yeah, $17 to go see Duke and Clemson this weekend. He asked me if I would come.
That's unbelievable.
And I said, listen, man, I'm a little short. And he goes, dude, I need you in town. I can't watch it. And he was serious. He's like, he's in tears. He goes, I cannot watch this football team alone and watch them lose to Duke. He goes, I'll lose it. And I said, okay. I said, so I may hop in the car after the show and drive up. It does look like Cade Klubnik is going to be healthy enough to at least play, despite the fact that he's not putting up the wonderful numbers he did last year, 36 touchdowns and 6 picks. He is better than their backup. You mentioned Memphis. I thought Memphis really showed a lot of poxy by what they did against South Florida coming back from 17 down late in that ball game last week, because they could have just folded it up and all of a sudden they lose to UAB and South Florida in back-to-back weeks. They go from being that team that's going to be in the top 12 to all of a sudden just being off the face of the earth. So they really showed me a lot, but I totally agree with you. I'm going to see what they can do this weekend. And the Rice game obviously looms really, really large there. I mentioned I like North Texas minus the 6.5 against an undefeated Navy. Navy is 1-5 against the spread. They have beaten FAU, UAB, Rice, Tulsa. I need to say no more. Boston College, I mentioned, has given up 45 points a ball game their last 4 games. They're 1-6 against the spread, Boston College. And everyone knows how shitty they are, and they still can't cover the spread. They're catching points wherever they can. Something tells me whenever I see a line that large and it's always that little hook, that it's, I'm telling you, we're going to see a 42-14 game. It's going to be 42-14. It's going to be within a couple points one way or another. But, man, Vegas knows what they're doing. So, 28 and that hook can always be the thing that can get you, particularly when you talk about a ball game really large. I may jump on Texas. What's money line minus 3 in Texas? Case, do you know?
The minus 160, I have it up. I can get it for you in 1 second. Let's see.
160, we got 170, something like that. I mean,
Circa's at 150 right now. So 150. 150, that's not a bad.
I don't like to lay that kind of juice on any team that I'm not too sure about, because if they're going to lose, they're going to lose, period. They're either going to win by 7 or they're going to lose. So I don't know. Maybe I just I don't know.
Just play the under and enjoy it.
Yeah, I might do that. And I think the Georgia-Florida game is going to be just a slob knocker. I think that's going to be a lot of fun to watch. I may just tune into the second half of that ball game. I think that's going to be fun. Arkansas, I think it's going to be really interesting. I love the fact, Kip, I think you're right. It's something like Petrino's job. It's his job to have. But you were talking about Georgia Tech, too, coming in 8-0. What's the chance of Keegan to be there next year? Everyone's talking about Brian Kelly perhaps taking the Georgia Tech job at the end of the season.
He will not take it. You will never see Brian Kelly again.
No. You know why, too? Because if he can make money on top of his $54 million, I'd say he'd take it a heartbeat because I know how tight his ass is. He wouldn't buy me dinner last time he came to town as a University of Cincinnati Bearcat fan. I remember he was here. They were playing Notre Dame, I think, in like the Birmingham Bowl back in 1989 or something.
Yeah.
He wouldn't buy me. He would not pick up the check.
His financial situation is a little better than it was then.
When the check came to the table, there were six of us.
That's so sad.
He wanted the fucking check separated.
Oh, that's so sad.
I said, Coach, you're serious, right? I mean, separated. It wasn't like any of us were getting like shrimp or anything. I was like, you got to be kidding me. He wanted the check separated at some Southside bar or something. I was like, whatever. So, he's a tight ass. But, yeah, if he can make more money, he'd take it. So those are just a couple of games that I'm liking right off the bat. The National Football League, we'll get into some NHL as well as some NBA. If you listen to the show, more so we're doing NFL and certainly on Fridays. College football throughout the entire week, and then we'll get into some NHL and some NBA stuff as it warrants when it comes by. And, of course, of the any other stuff, we got college hoops right around the corner. I cannot wait for college basketball season. I am just, for some reason, just super stoked about college basketball season. I can't wait to see all of our favorite teams get after it. But let's take a look around and start the case right now. What are some things that are popping out to you, and how some line changes in the NFL this past week? Obviously, injuries play a huge part in that, but what are some games you're liking this weekend for Sunday?
Yeah, one final thought on the point before, because I know we like getting into the coaching stuff. This isn't an original thought. I heard someone else say it, but it really was made a lot of sense to me. I don't know if I'd be rushing to Brent Key, because are we sure he's the coach to get off that staff? I know around college football, a lot of people think it might be Buster Faulkner. I don't know why the coordinators aren't getting into more of these searches. I kind of feel – I love Dan Lanning. My favorite coach is who I hire. But the more I think about it, like, are we sure that we shouldn't be talking about Will Stein a little bit? I mean, he's totally transformed.
Yeah.
Bo Nix and Dante Moore both look like different guys in his offense, and he's done different things with
– Would you take Lanning over Kiffin right now? Would you I love Dan. I love Dan Lanning more than anything alive. I think he's fantastic.
Lanning over who?
Over Kiffin.
Oh, yeah, I'd take Lanning. But I'd like to see – a lot of these times we get super high on coaches and then they get through the second cycle of coordinators and they're not the same. So I think like Faulkner and Stein probably aren't getting enough love in this cycle. I know you wanted to move on to the NFL. Man, it's just every game's been – the favorites have just been covering like crazy the last couple weeks. I mean, anecdotally, it kind of feels like at some point, an underdogs are going to start winning some games. We go through these waves.
22-6 last 2 weeks, favorite.
Unbelievable.
Yeah, it just seems like every game. We saw it again last night with Baltimore. Luckily, I was on Baltimore. I mean, it's like four straight years. The Ravens have been the best team. I know they haven't won the Super Bowl. They haven't gotten in the playoffs. But when they have their guys healthy, I really think they're a cut above everyone. And they hadn't had Lamar and Humphrey and Roquan Smith and all these guys on the field together since week one until last night. So that's kind of a bigger picture. No huge movement that I'm seeing that really jumps off the page. I mean, the Chiefs-Bills line, I guess, depending on how far back you go. I mean, it was only a month ago we were crowning the Bills as this is the year they're going to break through and win the Super Bowl. They probably would have been like –
Well, could they have been? Go through their schedule, and I heard something really interesting yesterday. They haven't beaten anybody. The Bills really have not beaten anybody this year. I think their four or five victories are all against.
Well, the Ravens at full strength opening night, you got to give them credit for that.
No, I'll give them credit for that. But I think the other four games, I think the cumulative record is 8-28. I think.
You're right about that.
They certainly haven't done against Baltimore, but yeah, the other four games. So I think a lot of people are kind of hedging towards Kansas City, who, by the way, is looking really good again.
So I just think that's the clear standout game. Would be no surprise if that's an AFC championship game preview or maybe second round. I mean, they seems like they meet in the playoffs every year. I just think and I don't even necessarily think it's wrong. I mean, I did make the Bills a slight favorite, but I understand how good the Chiefs have looked. And the Chiefs kind of break the betting models year after year because Mahomes is just so good. And I guess him and Reed do the little things. I just think it's a little wild that, it shows you how quick perception changes. The Bills definitely would have been a decent sized favorite in this game a month ago. Now they're a home underdog. I feel like that's one to watch.
If I'm just looking at Falcons, Patriots are playing out of their brains. Any reason, Kai, you say it every single week, and they're doing fantastic. And let me see what they're doing right here against the spread. They are 6-2 against the spread. Your Indianapolis Colts, 7-1. Even when the line's 14, they're getting it done. They're only giving up 3 at the Steelers. Any surprises there?
Well, it's not my Indianapolis Colts because I'm a Titans fan. So it pains me. But I'm all over Indiana Jones again. Yes, I'm going to lay the 3. It's not my NFL game of the year like the Jacksonville-Vegas game is, you know, you got to have your game of the year, your play of the month, your 10,000 star lock of the year.
That's right.
There's no way I'm betting against Indiana Jones, no shape, form, or fashion, because he just, you know, spank that ass in every single way that he wants to. And they'll be able to run on the Steelers. Jonathan Taylor should have a pretty good game. I don't know if y'all saw this. I bet Case did. GM for Miami just came to terms to part ways for Miami. So their general manager is now gone. I guess that's how McDaniels is going to save his job for another 2 or 3 weeks off another horrible performance. But I think that really doesn't make a lot of difference, but it will. I love Jacksonville this week. I love Indianapolis this week. And for the first time, I think in probably 8 years, and I know who's playing and everything, I love Dallas as well. I really did. Those three games, which makes me think I should bet the other way, but I love those three games.
No, Dallas has given up 2.5, and that's one of those games where you're getting Dallas at home against a 2-5 Cards team. Why not give up 3.5? I mean, Dallas is Texas to me. Every team from fucking Texas screws me over. I play Dallas Cowboys every single week just because on paper I'm just waiting for that flip, that switch to flip. I'm just waiting.
Real quick, before we move on, I apologize. I meant to say this. Just watch, and this could be a prop bet if anybody out there listening is on any of the places that plays props. Watch out for Jeremiah Love to go for 175 and 3 TDs, as November is Jeremiah Love for Heisman month for Kai and Notre Dame.
By the way, words to God. Let's go.
by the way, the ESPN bet of the night last night, Aaron came out with it, was Lamar Jackson over 34 yards rushing last night. He came up just a little short. I just wanted to mention that. So everyone's
how many did he have?
17.
I know how much you follow that, because, I mean.
No, I was going to jump on it. I mean, I'll play anything she wants, man.
You would lick her butthole. There's no doubt about it. I get it.
Like, from here to next Tuesday, yeah. I mean, I would lose a bet knowing that was going to be. I would do a Back to the Future thing where I'd give her the log of all the games that are done already if I could get that opportunity. Absolutely.
It's interesting to me that when you talk about EKD, you're talking about a log, because you would take a log from her, you know, in any shape, form, or fashion.
Yeah, whatever it takes, man.
Okay.
I didn't take it there. He did. What about some other NFL games? I'm looking at 49ers and Giants. I'm just going to throw some things out here. The Bears and the Bengals, and by the way, Joe Flacco, leave it to Joe Flacco. He's got a sprained ACL in his throwing arm. He's 41. I cannot see him starting this game, and the Bengals are actually catching points.
He's not going to play.
That's another game where, you know, you leave a pair of tickets on the floorboard of the car, and when you get back in, there's two more tickets sitting there on the floorboard of the car. Someone breaks in and leaves you two more tickets. I don't think I'm going to be making a Bengals game this year, because I can't do it anymore. But any other games jumping out to you before we move around a little bit?
I want to talk about the Patriots and the Falcons, because it looks so obvious. The Patriots are playing great. The Falcons, just like they have since they were founded in 1966, absolutely suck. We're talking about how bad the Dolphins got mauled last night, the GM quitting. Did you guys watch the game last Sunday in Atlanta? The Dolphins, I thought Larry Zonkin, Jim Kick, and Paul Warfield were on the field.
Nobody watched the Falcons game. Nobody cares. The Falcons fans don't care.
They just suck. They are so bad. But you know what's going to be very Falcon-esque here? They'll go to New England, and suddenly, somehow, magically, they'll cover or even pull the upset in this game. I've seen it 10,000 times in my career, living down here and growing up in Atlanta. The Falcons are the most bizarre, ridiculously malfunctioning, disjointed franchise in football history. The Patriots are the obvious play. They're playing great. Drake May is cooking with gas. The defense is playing well. But I just have that sick feeling that the Falcons are going to upset the apple cart here.
Yeah, Patriots are getting a 5.5. By the way, they're 6-2 against the spread. Something interesting, too.
They should be 10.5 after that Falcons performance last Sunday.
The Falcons 1-6 over-unders this year. So if you're going to make a play, the under would certainly be a line there. It's 44.5, which is pretty stout for a Falcons game. 44.5, that's right in the middle of the pack. So If you're looking at something like that, they're averaging 17.14 points per ball game. The Pats put up a 27.
And something. I told you guys, Tony, at the beginning of the year, Raheem Morris is not the answer. That was a terrible hire.
I agree wholeheartedly. Major League Baseball, for some people are going to be listening to the show and they're watching it right now live on the Tony Curry Radio Network. You're watching it on our YouTube channel. Special thanks, of course, to the Coastal Digital Network. We're working to get on VSiN as well. We got all kinds of different things we're working for the show. It's going to be huge. It's already huge. But we thank everyone who listens and watches, and we're doing the live show. A lot of people want to see, wow, should I have taken those Toronto Blue Jays? Certainly plus the 2.5 games, or I guess plus the 1.5 games it was. What was he, over 5.5 in this thing? That swing's flying over. Toronto's look fantastic, and LA cannot find their bats. Can they force a Game 7 tonight, Case?
I mean, yeah, certainly they could. They're the favorite. I don't begrudge anyone that says otherwise and is on the Blue Jays today. I will say, it's superstitious. I don't really put much into it. It's kind of a joke, but I'm looking at the scrolling line below us sometimes come through, and one of the headlines was Drake trolls Shohei Ohtani on Instagram. Anyone that's like deep in the sports betting world knows about the Drake curse. There was a stretch where he posted like 12 straight tickets on big sporting events, some of them UFC fights. I know he's a big fight fan. He lost every single one. It seems like every time he jumps in the fray, it goes the opposite way. So I, as you guys know, and I've talked about a lot, I've got Dodgers futures, and I was kind of feeling down in the dumps, dejected, like they're probably gone. But I don't know, Drake gave me a little spark of life. In all reality, I do think this is a little short. I mean, the line, I like Yamamoto. He's probably going to have one bad inning. I would prefer him over Gausman. It's a close game tonight, but I think I'd slightly lean towards the Dodgers forcing a Game 7. I think it's a tough sledding to say they're going to win two in Toronto when both the games look pretty close, but I don't think it's quite over yet. I just, man, their lineup has not given you much to be excited about, and of course they're going to pitch around Shohei Ohtani now. And man, for as much money as they've spent, and as much as we talk about you know, how they have an unfair advantage, I mean, once you get past like the five or six batter, I mean, like Edmund was great for them last year in the playoffs, but he's terrible. Just the bottom of their lineup hasn't produced at all.
Alex Call is playing the time, for God's sakes. He was a scrub with the Nationals. What the hell's going on there?
I love when your voice gets really high like that. I will say this, as a purist, there's nothing better than seeing a team like LA that spend $8 trillion to win championships and to come up short. Now, Toronto is not a small town league. Have you ever been to Toronto? It's a pretty big city. It's a beautiful city, and it's expensive as hell, by the way. It's more expensive than New York Toronto is. But
I think I saw they have the fourth biggest payroll. So that's the only thing I take exception to. Yeah, it's a small, gritty team.
Just because they're getting paid in Canadian quarters with mooses on it doesn't mean it doesn't spend the same way, for sure. Toronto's right there. But it is fun to see LA putting all this money up and get 162 games into the year and then come up a little short. Kip?
Yeah, I mean, the Dodgers case just hit my point big time that it was amazing watching that 18-inning game. If you got by the top of the order, then it was like the rest of the lineup is just pathetic. How old is TK Hernandez? Like 57?
57
He's
years
been
old.
Playing. I think he played with Sandy Koufax, who was in the stands.
Charlie Huff's coming in after him. There's that. Yeah, he's way up there.
But I just kept seeing Alex Call coming up time after time after time. And I say he couldn't even start for the Nationals. Right. It's just amazing to me that you have all that money out there and the bottom of your lineup is absolutely pathetic.
Yeah. Teams that go into game 5-2-2 and win that game 5 win the World Series and or the series, the playoff series, 73% of the time. Toronto obviously got that done and it's put the Dodgers. If there's one squad that I would bet on, and you're getting Yamamoto minus $1.44. I don't know. I can't remember the last time, maybe earlier in this series, where that price has been that low just because the pitching is so stinking good on both sides of the ball. But yeah, it'd be hard not to want to pull the trigger on that. And I think a lot of people obviously want to see a game 7.
And I got to tell you, I love that guy now, because for Yamamoto in the 18-inning game to go to the manager and say, I'm ready to go. He had just pitched a complete game a day before, let's give the Japanese culture and the competitive spirit of Yamamoto a big gold star there, because I don't see the prima donnas in this era. Nobody else was going up to him and saying, hey, I'm ready to go. I just think that was very commendable. He was going to be in the game if it went to the 19th.
Let's start the day by making some cash early in the day, 2 o'clock or 3 puck, depending on what time or what start of the world you're in. The Avalanche, the Golden Knights, both teams 6-1. The Knights are actually giving up .105. Avalanche giving up .115, basically a picking game over under 6.5 over. Case, you're going to be at that game with your boy today. I want to
down on the glass.
I want to lay some money down on something today, and I know you go with your heart and not your head, but tell me what I should do to get on that early puck line at 3 o'clock today.
Yeah, I think the total is probably about right. I would make it 6.5 if you could get plus money on either side of that. It's probably about right, and it doesn't look like you can right now. There's some 6 minus 25, but I probably wouldn't play that. I just probably would play whoever's plus money, and it looks like right now that's Vegas. I mean, there's a strong chance these are the two best teams in the NHL. I still have Colorado number one. I know they've been a little bit up and down this year. They've been playing without their goalie, though, who might be back today. I think they said he's going to start some game this weekend, Mackenzie Blackwood. I'm trying to see if there's been a confirmation yet. But unfortunately, this is the big game of the day, and I know it's the one everyone's going to want to bet on because it's early, but I don't see any huge edge here. I would just have to lean towards whatever one's plus money. Although I will say I feel like if Blackwood gets confirmed in, you're going to get a better price on the Golden Knights because they don't have a goalie right now either. Aiden Hill's hurt. They're going to have to start probably Akira Schmid, who's been okay. But, so the concerns both ways. I just take the plus money either way on the side. I wish we just do this show so early Pacific time. I'm going to work on my goal stuff right after this. I wish I could give out a goal score, but I haven't really looked at it. And I don't want to just throw it off the top of my head. That's not my style. But, just take the plus money, whoever ends up the underdog probably.
College basketball. Go ahead.
I was just going to add, King Kiefer's winning streak was ended on opening night. He had won 4 in a row being in attendance at Golden Knights game, but the Golden Knights lost in a shootout on opening night when we were there to start the season against the LA Kings. So if you're playing the King Kiefer never loses when the Golden Knights never lose when King Kiefer's there, he did have his streak snapped recently.
College hoops start in earnest, is it next week?
Monday
starts. So and I hate that because this obviously is our last show before we do that, but on Tuesday obviously we're going to have a lot of teams who have not taken to the hardwood yet, so on Tuesday we're going to go through college basketball futures, hoops, all kinds of stuff. So make sure if you're into some college hoops, you're into the March Madness, and who is it, make sure you check out our show 10 o'clock Central Time right here on the Coastal Digital Sports Network on Tony Curry Radio. I'm everywhere on the Audacity, wherever you get your favorite podcast. Beeson coming soon. We're all over the place, so make sure you check us out. We'll get on Tuesday, and we'll go through the entire college basketball season. I cannot wait for college hoops this season. Maybe it's because my football team suck.
You got five sports going tonight. You got college football. You got Major League Baseball. You got hockey. You got NBA. You got 8 cup games going tonight, and you didn't ask me, but the Dodgers win tonight in force game 7 easily.
I knew you'd have something to say about it. I know that's the way you want it to go. So sometimes I have to look at me in the eye. Look at me in the eye. Look at me right in the eye. Look at me in the eye and say the same thing. Tell me the Dodgers are going to get it done tonight.
Dodgers, easy win.
You're so full of shit. Okay.
Let's go.
Because you know people love to bet on game 7s. So we'll see what happens.
Yeah.
All right. Definitely. All right, gentlemen, thank you so much for all your time. Anything else you guys want to add to the NBA at all? I love doing the show, by the way. I do 17 different shows. I'm adding 3 more shows come January. Higher Hell Water. It looks like this show by far is one of our most listened to shows, probably because people around this parts love, first of all, 4 great guys, but they also gamble.
Real quick, Tony, what was the feedback? Because you teased that, so go ahead and enlighten us.
Most people love the idea that we, first of all, did not do any type of ranking.
I did on accident. Sorry. Yeah,
no, it's okay. They love the fact that we didn't go 1 through 10 because people love that. They just love the fact because they kind of, and one guy said, you're showing your ass. In other words, tonight by putting an actual ranking by him, you can screw it up. Oh. And I said, well, screw you. Come up with your own top 10 list. I don't give a shit.
Playoffs, dude. Yeah, it doesn't matter who's number one.
That was a whole idea. And the truth of the matter is the first lineup comes out Tuesday, correct? So Tuesday, we'll know what our top 12 is on Tuesday.
Oh, yeah, that very important gathering in Grapevine, Texas, every week. every week for filet mignon and Don Perrione so they can watch the games together and screw up the whole thing.
Sure. So maybe on Tuesday while we're doing our college basketball preview, maybe we will do what our top 12 looks like. We're not going to do what it should look like because we've already done that. But, you know, we're going to go ahead and misogynistically be protagonist here and go ahead and just go ahead and give these knuckleheads out there who had their SIDs watching the game, by the way, and find out exactly which way they're going to vote. I'm sure Ohio State, depending on what they do this weekend, will be the number one team in the land, so we'll see. All right, gentlemen, thank you so much. Thanks to Angel and, of course, the entire crew there with Coastal. We love you. We thank you. Have yourselves a wonderful weekend. Go make some money, guys. We'll talk again on Tuesday, 10 o'clock Central, right here on Tony Curry Radio. Thank you, man.
Happy Halloween.
You too, man.
This has been a special presentation of Tony Curry Radio.